Have you ever heard of the word Jiprox? If you come from the Philippines, you might have heard it. It is a term in the 1970s. Laki Salayaw, Jiprox. Yeah. What is Laki Salayaw? Laki Salayaw is a brat. Or have you heard of the term spoiled brat? Spoiled brat is a redundant term. Na-emphasize po yung pagiging brat. So, spoiled brat is like somebody who just want to do everything he wanted to do, not minding anybody around him or not minding even their parents. Do you know somebody? Do you know a spoiled brat? Do you know a laki salayaw person who obtained whatever he wanted as a child? Bilmo ko yan, gusto ko yon, gusto ko yan, bibili lahat ng kanyang mga magulang. And that person was never asked to help in the house, household chores. He would just alisin yung kanyang dami, tapon doon, bahala ka na nanay, kung laban mo yan o hindi, bibili ako ng bago kung ayaw mong laban yan. Alisin yung sapatos kung saan lang inilagay, hindi man lang ayusin. And in short, just his parents just let him do whatever pleases him. And that person grew up as fine gentleman. Meron po kayong kakilalang ganon? Mostly, ang mga lumalaking nagiging gentlemen or fair ladies ay mga kabataan na nakikinig sa magulang. The children of Job. Remember the story of Job in the Old Testament? The children of Job were spoiled brats. Bakit po? Because their father was rich, their father was the greatest in the East, in their community. They have the material abundance that this world can offer. Most people would envy in their generation. Halos kadalasan po sila po ay nagpa-party, lahat po sila magkakapatid. And it says the Bible says that Job was blameless. Job was blameless. He was upright in the eyes of God, and he feared God and stayed away from evil. The story of Job even narrates that God was very boasted about him before the angels. He said, "There's no one like Job, who is upright person," and he was wealthy. He was wealthy and considered the greatest person in the East or in their community. But his seven sons and three daughters were party goers, party lovers, and drinkers. And perhaps kung sa panahon ngayon, mangyari, laging, hindi lang party, kundi laging nagko-computer yan. Yan lang siguro ang mga ginagawa niyan. But one tragic day, Job lost all his children. He lost all his material possession. And he lost the respect of his wife and friends and relatives. He had nothing, even his health deteriorated. He was left skins and bones, nilalangaw, and nobody was envious. Wala pong gustong mainggit sa kanya in that pitiful situation. You do not like that situation, do you? Yet even with his most unpleasant, undesirable experience, Job kept his integrity and continued to trust the Lord. It says, let's read this. Job 42:12. Let's read. The Lord blessed the latter part. of Job's life more than the former part. Yun po ang nangyari sa buhay ni Job. Nagkaroon uli siya ng pitong sons and three daughters. Accordingly, his daughters were the most beautiful ladies in the East at the time. Yung next na anak niya. Take a look at yourself when you were younger, even if you are still young. Have you been envious? Kayo po ba'y nainggit sa mga kabataan who were raised in a wealthy family? Have you ever thought, oh sana ang aking nanay at tatay ay mayaman kagaya ni Warren Buffet or ni Bill Gates or Steve Jobs? Have you ever thought about that? Now, if you are tempted to think about those things, go and read the Bible, read the story of Job. Remember what happened to the children of Job who were party lovers because of the material abundance of their parents. Wealth cannot assure life to its fullness. Hindi po ang karangyan, hindi po karangyan ang nag-define ng buhay na maganda. In comparison, there's also a story in the Bible that says growing in scarcity or deprivation cannot prevent success. Hindi po dahil naghihirap ang isang tao or walang kayamanan ang magulang ay nakakahadlang, nakakapigil sa pagiging successful sa buhay. There was this orphan girl. She lost both her parents because perhaps due to war, I don't know. But she was taken care of by his cousin. Her cousin. And they were forced to be exiled. They were forced to go to Babylon. She did not have material abundance, yet she became the queen. Sino po siya? Esther. Read the story of Esther, and it's so beautiful story. Beautiful story that would show us that nothingness doesn't hinder us to become successful in life. It says in chapter 2, verse 20. Let's read this. Esther had kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do, for she continued to follow Mordecai's instruction as she had done when he was bringing her up. Mordecai became her guardian. Mordecai was her cousin. But Esther looked at him as his father, guardian, and obeyed him. Yan po isang example na to prove that respect for parents will give you great life. So children, start giving respect to your parents if you haven't yet. Would you say that Job was a bad father when his children died? Or would you say that Mordecai was good guardian because Esther became queen? The Bible says Job was blameless. Job was upright. Job feared God and stayed away from evil. There was nobody like Job in his generation that God had seen to be more righteous than him. He was the most righteous person in his generation. And God was pleased with Job. and even boast about Job's righteousness before his angels. Yet God allowed his children, who were party lovers, to die. Jesus warned in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Let's read this. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possession. Greed is not only about money. Greed is also being greedy about fame, about power, greed about having everything, something like that. And we can easily see greediness in this generation. And we are tempted to accept that reality na nagiging moral acceptable to everyone. Abundance or scarcity doesn't control our future. God does. He loves us. He may allow desirable or undesirable experiences to test our faith for His glory, for us to praise Him. It states in John chapter 11, verse 3 to 4, let's read this. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Death is the most difficult problem of mankind. Have you ever encountered a difficult problem yet? If you haven't died, you haven't encountered the most difficult problem. Of course, you are not here if you have encountered that most difficult problem. Yet the Lord Jesus allowed not his enemy, his most beloved friend, Lazarus, to suffer and died. We may ask, I thought he loved him. Didn't Christ care about him? Of course, he cared about him. But Christ was thinking more about the glory of God. It was for his glory that God lets that tragedy happen. The life of Job as a believer, the passage that we read, or the Bible that teaches us about the life of Job, his life as a believer, his life as a father, his life as a husband may shed light through realistic incident why God may allow troubles for his glory. The Lord blessed Jacob abundantly. He had all material things that they can avail of in their generation. But his children grew with a different behavior. Jacob may have favored Joseph because he was the only one he can rely upon. At a very young age, Joseph was upright. He did not cover up but reported bad behaviors of his half-brothers. Let's read again verse 1 and 2. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flock with his brothers, the son of Bilhah and the son of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now the next chapters of Genesis, chapter 37, 30, 39, 40, 250, we will be studying more about the life of Jacob's children, especially Joseph. And in here, we can see how of being faithful in God would be rewarded. So if you want to go ahead and read through it, that would be great, and you will find it would help you grow in your faith. I've been challenging you before that if you have read the Genesis at least 20 times, at least 20 times, I assure you that your faith will be far different than you expected. Your faith will certainly grow stronger. Read Genesis 20 times. I am not saying that you read it at one sitting. No, reread through it, maybe one chapter a day, and then after you reach chapter 50, go back to chapter 1 and read it again, read it again, and read it again. It will help you grow in your faith and help you understand how God dealt with the life of those who believe and those who did not believe in Him. Now, among Jacob's children, or Israel's children, Joseph's life story was given more significance. Jacob had 12 sons and one daughter, and yet the life of Joseph had more space in the Bible than his other siblings. It so happened that he also became his father's favorite. Nonetheless, he had the most exemplary character. He behaved properly among his siblings. He was the most behaved among them. But to be a behaved child does not guarantee that your siblings would love you. Actually, Joseph was hated by his brother because he was so good, kind, behaved child. In spite of his troubles, the Lord was with him. The bad report about his brother that Joseph told his father was not elaborated in the narrative. Hindi po sinabi kung ano po yung bad report na yan. He says that he brought their father a bad report about him. It was not told. It was not mentioned. Maybe it was just very weird thing that we do not need to think about. So, did the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah venture in a very naughty escapade? Maybe, perhaps, but why? Perhaps they may have felt lesser love and care from their father. Their mother, Bilhah and Zilpah, these were servants of Jacob's wife, Rachel and Leah, respectively. Indeed, children explore mischievous stunts just to attract attention. Pansinin niyo po yung mga bata, kung ano-ano ang pinagagawa just to get your attention as parents. And we did that, parents, when we were younger. Sino po sa inyo ang hindi masyado naughty nung bata? I had a share of naughtiness when I was in my younger age. Did Joseph become arrogant being the favorite son? Perhaps, I don't know. Did Joseph want his brothers to be punished when he reported a bad report for them about them? Probably. He may have reported their mischief so that they won't repeat again. Perhaps, I don't know. And most of the time we hate others to report about the bad things we've done. Di po ba? We don't like our brothers, we don't like our sisters to tell our parents that we did this wickedness or naughtiness or escapade, whatever. We want others to tell only the good things we do, right? That's our nature. We want to be seen as good, and yet we cannot stop doing naughtiness. Now, it says in Proverbs chapter 28, whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor rather than the one who has a flattering son. To rebuke somebody, to rebuke a friend, to rebuke somebody who you just recently had pants with, requires a discerning spirit. There is proper timing for rebuke. We may say that we rebuke out of care. We may say that, oh, I love you. I don't want you to be hurt. That's why I rebuke you. That they may not necessarily accept that. If we, even if we say we care for them. Parents, you can easily observe this. You rebuke your children, discipline your children because you love them, and yet they will hate you. I don't know, in North America, children would readily say, I hate you, when you discipline them. You can easily see that in the movies or even in posting in your media accounts. Mild or harsh, not everybody is ready to appreciate a rebuke. Hindi po lahat ay tinatanggap ang rebuke. Why? It says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, let's read. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Now that's wonderful. Well, there was this commander, Aramean commander. His name is Naaman. It said that he was a valiant, highly regarded soldier because through him, the Bible says that the Lord had given victory to Aram. The Lord has given victory to Aram because of Naaman, the commander. But the problem was, his problem was he had a leprosy. His Israelite servant advised him, go and see the prophet in Israel that you will be healed. Indeed, Naaman went and expected the prophet, that was the prophet Elisha at the time, to perform some kind of healing ritual. But Elisha did not. He did not do anything. Elisha did not even come out of his house. He didn't bother to go and check. Oh, how's you? How are you? How's your sickness? No, he did not. It narrated in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10 to 12. Let's read this. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. But are not Abana and Parpar, the river of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in rage. As commander of the Aramean army, Aramean conquered Israel, so Aram was in control of Israel at the time. And Naaman felt disrespected. This commander, you disrespect, you do not even want to see. He was expecting Elisha to come out, perhaps perform some spiritual ritual, like other spiritual healers that he may have observed. But in this, he failed to see that opportunity to be healed. He just assumed that Elisha's advice was a mockery of his ailment because the river of Damascus were far better than the Jordan River. And have you observed a person who is a great person, when he commits mistake, people would laugh very much at him. They would mock at the person when he commits mistakes. Look at the president on the other side of the border. He is the president. For people who become president, that would be great experience. And yet people who are nothing are laughing or mocking him. That's the nature of human. And that was perhaps what Commander Naaman thought, that Elisha was mocking at him because he had leprosy. However, the servants of Naaman may have sensed that this commander Naaman was just very sensitive, and truly, when you are sick, many sick person are very sensitive of their ailment. Don't just wag mong pansinin kung ang isang tao ay mayroong malaking pimple sa kanyang pisngi. That person would hate you. Parang ganun yun. Wag mong pansinin pag ang isang tao ay maraming balakubak. Dahil pag sinabi mo yun, magagalit pa sa'yo. Parang ganun yun. Di po ba? And that was the situation of Naaman. He was very sensitive at that time. But his servants cared, respected him. They have high regard of him. That they did not hesitate to rebuke him. They wanted him to do what was right. They wanted him to be healed. They wanted him to be cured. That was how he earned respect before his servants. It implies that they have really great respect of him. It says in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, in his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. When Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God, he stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is a God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. Now, if you sense that the person cannot appreciate a rebuke, and you really care about your relationship with that person, would you dare to rebuke that person? A rebuke can expose a person if a person is wise or not wise. A foolish person hates to be rebuked. In contrast, a wise person wants to learn from mistakes. He wants to improve. You'll find that a wise person will love you even more, of course, after timely rebuke. Let's read again verse 3 from our passage. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. You observe that it started using the name, in verse 2 it says Jacob, but in verse 3 it started using the name Israel instead of Jacob. From here, it will be interchanging Jacob and Israel, because the Bible, the author Moses was trying to introduce Israel in this chapter as the name of Jacob. Why did Israel love Joseph more? Why not Benjamin, the youngest son? Joseph was born when Jacob was 91 years old, accordingly. And Benjamin was born 7 years later when Jacob was 98 years old. We can easily compute the age of Jacob by deducting from available biblical record. It was not mentioned outrightly, but we can deduct from available biblical records. Now, when Jacob went to Egypt, he told Pharaoh that he was 130 years old. It says in Genesis chapter 47, verse 9, let's read this. Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. So when he met Pharaoh, he was already 130 years old. And it says in Genesis 41:46, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now that was not the time when Jacob went to Egypt. So it was 7 years before Jacob went to Egypt and Joseph was 30 years old. So Jacob, who was also called Israel, had not traveled to Egypt yet when Pharaoh promoted Joseph as the prime minister because there was abundance for 7 years, as Joseph predicted. He predicted that there will be abundance of food for 7 years and famine for another 7 years. So before that 7 years started, Joseph was promoted and he was 30 years old. And when that 7 years of abundance ended, ilang taon na si Joseph? Joseph was 37 years old. And it says in Genesis chapter 41, verse 53 and 54, the 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and 7 years of famine began, as just as Joseph had said. Now, the severe famine at that time affected not only the entire Egypt, but also Canaan, or the neighboring country. The Bible says entire world. And Jacob sent his son to buy food after it started to have famine. Of course, the first year, they still have stocks. But after 1 year, naubos na ang kanilang stock. Because for 1 year, there's no planting. There's no grass for their animals to eat. And they also feed their animals with the stock they had. So no planting, no food for 1 year. And the second year, he sent his children. Jacob sent his sons to buy food when he heard that there was food in Egypt. And on their second journey, the second year, Joseph revealed himself to his brother and said that the famine will extend longer. He said, the 7 years of abundance in Egypt come to an end. The 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph said. And ang sinabi niya doon to sa Genesis chapter 45, verse 56, ito po yung sinabi niya sa kanyang mga kapatid, to his brothers. He said, for 2 years now, there has been famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. So ilang taon na po si Joseph diyan? When he met his brother? 39. Right? 39. And at 39 years old, Joseph was 39 years old. That was 2 years after famine. 7 years of abundance, Joseph was 37 years old. Plus 2 years of famine, Joseph was 39 years old. And that time, Joseph instructed his brothers to take to Egypt their father Jacob and their families. And then that's the time when Jacob met Pharaoh, when he said, I am 130 years old. So Joseph was 39 years old when Israel came to Egypt and told Pharaoh that he was 130 years old. So, to subtract or take away 39 from 130, it's 91, right? So, 91 years old, si Joseph, Jacob, when Joseph was born. Joseph was born when Jacob was 91 years old. Now, when we ask, what is this computation of Jacob's age based on the circumstances of Joseph? How does it relate to Joseph as Jacob's favorite son? Joseph has an exceptional faith in God as compared to his siblings. And his life story was very significant to know for certain the age of Jacob when Joseph was born. When it says, Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons because the reason written was, he had been born to him in his old age. Can you go back 3 slides back? Can you go back? No, one more. There. Look at that. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made him a hornet of robe. Did Jacob love more than his other sons because he was very old man when Joseph was born? If he favored Joseph more than his other sons, because Joseph was born when he was an old man, then why not Benjamin? Why not Benjamin, the youngest son? He was born when Jacob was 98 years old or more or less. Benjamin was the youngest son. Why not Benjamin? Remarkably, this verse sparks curiosity of Jacob's age. And when Joseph was born, how old was Jacob? So to know the age of Jacob when Joseph was born, you need to go through the circumstances that surround Joseph. So there's this wider interest of about the circumstances of Joseph, and to come to know what the Lord has done in his life. So if you are thinking about how old was Jacob, you will be thinking about the circumstances of Joseph. So as you go through the circumstances of Joseph, you will go through what God has done in his life. So the purpose now of knowing the age of Jacob was to know what God has done in the life of Joseph. Well, it all ends to God's glory. That's for sure. So if you are very curious why Israel or Jacob loved Joseph more than Benjamin, you cannot know more about what God has done in the life of Benjamin than Joseph. So knowing the age of Jacob when Joseph was born is to know what God has done in the life of Joseph. Let's read these passages about what the Lord has done in the life of Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. Maybe we can still study this later, but we can find it now. Genesis 39 verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. That was the time when Joseph was sold as a slave in Egypt. And in Genesis chapter 39 verse 5 it says, from the time he put in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Wow, that's wonderful. Potiphar, the Egyptian commander, the Egyptian award, Egyptian boss who bought Joseph, prospered because of Joseph. And Joseph was just a slave, but he was promoted as the mayordomo or the manager of his household. Everything that Potiphar had was managed by Joseph. It says in Genesis chapter 39, verse 23, give me that. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Now, that was the time when Joseph was put in prison because the wife of Potiphar, his Egyptian boss, accused him of maliciousness. And still, even in jail, the Lord blessed the life of Joseph. I've heard this testimony once when we visited a prisoner in the maximum security prison in the Philippines, in Bilibid, if you heard about Bilibid. The prisoner we ministered to in Baguio City before, but he was transferred to the maximum prison when he was found guilty of killing two innocent people. He was a policeman. But when we met him at the Bilibid prison or maximum prison, he testified. He was there for just 1 month. It was therefore just 1 month. But among those prisoners, they elected him to manage the commissary store inside the Bilibid prison. Siya po naging manager sa loob ng prison. He was just an ordinary policeman, but he experienced that. He told me, "Pastor, you know, I thought when I was in outside, my life was great, I was free, but in here, I sensed the freedom. I may be inside the cell, but I sense the freedom in me." Sabi niya sa akin, he told me. And I was so touched. This man, I was thinking, this man truly believed in God. This man truly believed in God. So the blessing that God has bestowed to Joseph transmitted in the life of his sons, but more apparently in the life of Joseph. Probably the love that Jacob or Israel had with Joseph must have been more obvious when they went to Egypt. Anyway, the commentary part of the narrative that says Jacob loved Joseph more than his other son, any of his other sons, that was a description narrated by, not by his children, not by his sons, but by his descendants. Sinulat po ng kanyang descendants, and more specifically, Moses, the writer of Genesis. So, when it says that Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because Joseph was born when Jacob was in his old age, it should be the age of Jacob when Joseph was born, and not because he was an old man that we might be curious about. We might be curious about. Why? Because Joseph was born. After Joseph was born, another son has been born to Jacob. When Jacob was older, and Benjamin, the only son of Jacob born in the promised land. So, if we talk about Jacob loving Joseph when he was, because Joseph was born when he was an old man, we should be talking about Benjamin. But it's not because being an old man that Jacob loved Joseph. It was because it sparks, it ignites, and triggers curiosity about the age of Jacob, so that we will look at the circumstances of Joseph. And when we look at the circumstances of Joseph, we will be seeing what God has done in the life of Joseph, what God has done in the life of Joseph. So everything that has been written was meant for the glory of God. It points us, it brings us to what the Lord has done in the life of Joseph. So, Jacob loved more than Benjamin. So it was not about being an old man that Jacob loved Joseph more than his brother, although it was easier to view that phrase, born to him in his old age. If you ask question why Jacob loved Joseph more and not Benjamin, who was the youngest, it invites interest discussion about Joseph and his circumstances. And more information was told about Joseph's life story than Benjamin's. Kukunti po ang nakwento tungkol kay Benjamin, but more on Joseph's life and even more than his other siblings. Nevertheless, Israel or Jacob practically showed his love for Joseph when he made that ornate robe for Joseph, but didn't make any for his other sons. An ornate robe may have been very desirable, and Joseph's siblings hated him because of it. Have you watched that? Ano yung pinapanood natin kagabi? No, that man, Revenant. Have you watched that movie, Revenant? Who was the actor there? Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm not promoting that, but If you have watched that, you can imagine the coldness that he was going through in his hardship, and that robe that he had just cover him for the winter time. I can imagine that should have been the situation of Joseph. Having that ornate robe would made him more comfortable and cozy than his brothers. Oh, I would love to have that ornate robe, especially during winter. Perhaps, I don't know. So because of they did not have an ornate robe, they hated him. Let's read verse 4. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Have you ever felt unloved by your parents because they gave your siblings something you desired but you've got nothing? Dad, bakit mo binalan yung kapatid ko ng sasakyan niya? Ako, wala pa akong sasakyan. Hindi ka pa nagda-drive, kaya hindi pa kita binibilhan, no? Ang ganun. You feel that? But, nigyan mo ng bagong Nike na sapatos na madaling masira. Nakakuha lang, hindi. Ang binibili mo sa akin, Converse. Did you feel like that? Dad, may iPad na bago ang kuya. Ako wala. May bagong cellphone si ate. Ako wala. May bagong computer si kuya. Ako wala. Do you feel like that before? How about in our generation, what would that be? Basketball, perhaps. Dad, may basketball si kuya. Ako volleyball. Softball. Something like that. I don't know what were the crazy things that we have before. Perhaps that way. A bicycle, perhaps. To own a bicycle in our time is something. Because bihira po ang bicycle nung panahon namin. Feel that way? Have you felt unloved because your parents gave your siblings the thing that you have desired but it was not given to you? The ornate robe that Jacob made for Joseph can be properly interpreted as colorful robe. That was the description. But it may not be necessarily the color that makes it a special robe, but it's the extraordinary kind of robe that was rare. It was not a common commodity. It's not available in the market in those days. And it's hard to find those kinds of robe. And perhaps such kind of robe would identify the owner as exceptional or something like belonging to the elite class. Just like if, for example, if one buys a Lamborghini or Maserati, something like that, and your car is local Ford or local Chevrolet, and something of that version. And perhaps they feel that way. So perhaps if you think about that, it's only proper that Joseph's brother were envious. Dad, ba't mo binilhan ng kuya ng sports car? Ako, sedan na karag-karag, bago sakayin sa kanya. No, something like that. They did not like what he had been given, that Joseph was given such a special privilege. And we can easily observe such envy, not just among siblings, but even among others. It says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, a heart at peace gives life to body, but envy rots the bones. Rots the bones. The Lord Jesus teaches in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 to 23. Let's read this. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All this evil comes from inside and defile a person. Look at that. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, is related to greed, to malice, to deceit, to envy, to arrogance and folly. It was not arranged something like this is more serious and this is less serious. They, if you would look at it, you can look at it that they are in the same category that the Lord Jesus has mentioned. Envy is related to murder and greed and foolishness. So envy is foolishness. Envy is foolishness. When envy prevailed in the life of Jacob's son, we can read it later, they planned to kill Joseph. But soon, they became greedy. They became foolish. So they sold Joseph to the merchants going to Egypt. That's the story. So the envy turned murderous and greedy. Let's check ourselves for a while. Look at ourselves. Let's leave the story of Joseph behind for a while. Ask ourselves, am I envious of the wealth of rich people? Are you envious of the wealth of rich people? Now, have you heard of the name Charlie Munger? Charlie Munger? Charlie Munger, he is 95 years old, right-hand man of billionaire Warren Buffett. He is also, I think, the director of Costco. So if you are going to Costco, you are helping Charlie Munger to grow richer. Charlie is worth $1.7 billion, and Warren Buffett is more than 60, 70, I don't know, billion. But he did not quit assisting Warren Buffett. They've been together for many years, 30 years or so, but he was not envious of the wealth of Warren Buffett. He was satisfied being in the assist. Oh, of course, because we are telling 1.7 billion. No, they did not start billionaire. When asked about his secret of long life at the age of 95, Warren Buffett is younger by 8 years, I think. And he said, it's easy because it's simple to have this kind of life, to live long and still strong and be involved in business. If you are 95 years old, what would you do? Retire, right? But these people are not retired. They keep on. In 2014, actually, they said, we need to have one last investment. 2014, just 4 years, 5 years ago, they said, just one last time, when he was 90 years old. Sapa. They keep on. I think that is one thing, secret too, to keep on keeping on, to have a longer life, if you want to have longer life. Well, for sure, you want to have long life because you have millions, one might say. But his advice was, listen carefully, can you give me that sermon? That's part of Charlie Munger. It is better to read that in the sermon outline, in the sermon manuscript. He advised, don't have a lot of envy or resentment. The sermon itself. I'm sorry for that. I would like you to read with me because it would be greater. It would be easier than listening. Sige, scroll mo pa. Kay Manager, dun sumubra ka na. There you go. He advised, let's read together so that it will sink in our mind. Don't have a lot of envy or resentment. Don't overspend your income. Stay cheerful in spite of your troubles. Deal with reliable people. Do what you are supposed to do. Staying cheerful is a wise thing to do. You have to let go of negative feelings. And can you be cheerful when you're absolute mired, deep hatred and resentment? Of course, you can. Manager said, yun po ang advice ni manager. Now, if you go to our website, I posted there the link where this one, or you can easily go and search the internet about Charlie Munger. I think it was posted in Yahoo or something somewhere. And read more about this. I just concise it for the sake of illustration. And read through, interestingly, and read through the comments, that one. Go through the comment. Interestingly, the comment posted under this article about Charlie Munger exposed envy from many readers. There are a lot of comments in there, and you can easily sense that enviousness of readers. The envious readers viewed and commented that the wealth of Munger is the source of his long and happy life because they say, okay, if you are a billionaire, you can easily hire good chef and eat delicious food, delicious meal, and not worry about monthly bills. That was what they say, which exposes there's a lot of envy in there. They are not listening to what he said, to the advice that the principles that he followed. They just look at the money of this billionaire. But others, there are also comments there, admitted and acknowledged what Munger advised, that contentment with what one has and not envious what others have can add to happy life. Yan po. If you find contentment in what you have, then you are happy. But how can we do that? It helps when we ask the Lord, help me be content with what I have. When you are contented, the Lord will continue to give you more. Not because you need more, but perhaps to use for other good things, to help others who are in need. I don't know. Now, the worthiest and the wisest person advice, actually, when he prayed, so King Solomon prayed, he prayed, I did not put there, but he prayed that, Lord, give me my daily bread. Do not give me more than what I need, for I may forsake you and despise you and say and forget you. But don't make me very poor, because I might steal in disgrace your name, something of that line. So it seems like when Charlie Munger advised what he said in that article, he might have read Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. It says, let's read, a cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones there. If you are satisfied, you are cheerful. If you are contented with what you have, you are cheerful. But if you are not contented, then there's a lot of long face out there. So when you go home, look at your face in the mirror. Just discern, are you really contented? Hey, Lorenzo, are you contented with what you have? Look at your eyes in the mirror. Look at your face. You feel like you're happy? If not, then practice smiling to yourself. Something like that. Worry, envy, or resentment would certainly crush the bones. But a cheerful heart, this is what we all desire. We have to have a cheerful heart. And we can ask the Lord to give us cheerful heart, to have contentment. When we are instructed, be filled with the Holy Spirit always. The reason was, when the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our life, the fruit of the Spirit is the summary of the very basic element of satisfied life. If you have love, overflowing love, you might be very satisfied. If you have overflowing joy, you are more satisfied. If you have that overwhelming peace in your heart, then it means that you do not worry even if there will be snow again in a little while. You have peace. And you will be kind. You will be patient. You will drive smoothly. Oh, maybe I can makakauwi din ako. And not rush on the road. Those people rushing the road have no patience, right? Are you one? Hope not. Because there are many among them. The life story of Joseph, this is a narrative of unfavorable favorite person. It's paradoxical. It's contrasting reality in life that we may experience. Of course, we like to be loved, but we should not resent those who don't favor us. So as long as the Lord is with us, sooner than we can realize, the Lord's design for us is the best life we can ever experience in this world and in the next life. We believers are unfavorable favorites also. Did you know that? In the eyes of non-believers, our Christian lifestyle is unfavorable. They do not favor our Christian lifestyle. But in the Lord's eyes, when we live our Christian life, we are favored by the Lord. Shall we stand up and try to check our lifestyle? Check our life. Ask yourself, am I satisfied with my income? Am I satisfied with my life? If there's a lot of resentment and there's a lot of envy still in there, ask the Lord for forgiveness, because envy and resentment, these are relatives to adultery and murder and other disgraceful sins out there. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. And ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and that the fruit of the Holy Spirit prevail in your life. Ask that now. Don't go out from this building not being assured of satisfied life from the Lord.